Then you look at a child. We interviewed a child who was 3 years old, only a few months from talking. And he nearly drowned at a swimming pool up here in Seattle, was underwater, I'm going to guess, for 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And was successfully resuscitated. And I interviewed him a few weeks after the facts, and after the fact of, you know, his near drowning. And he looks me in the eye, and he has the biggest smile on his face, and he goes, I saw the sun. I saw the sun, and it had a happy face for me. You know, I mean, that, you know, so, you know, that's not cultural contamination. That's all the underbrush shorn away. And children, by and large, that's why I love to interview children. They say these things that, you know, they're almost like a, you know, great philosophical proverbs. For example, one girl, who we resuscitated here at Valley General Hospital, nearly died of bacterial meningitis. She drew me a picture in which she had every detail of her own resuscitation correct. Very detailed drawing of my partner, Dr. Christopher, with his hands properly placed on her chest, you know, his arms partially flexed and, you know, perfect American Heart Association, form. Little tiny details that you wouldn't think that she would know, such as our team leader always wears a hat, and she drew a figure at the head of her bed who is, you know, orchestrating the resuscitation as wearing a hat. You know, all kinds of little details. And then she, you know, thinks she's floating out of her body, and she draws a rainbow. And I said, so what is that rainbow? And she says, that's a light that told me who I was and where I was to go.
That's fantastic.
You know, and then you ask her any more details about it. Like, well, what do you mean a light? Oh, I don't know. What does it mean where you were to go? Well, I don't know. And, you know, that's the thing about these children's experiences, is that they're so fresh and pure.
They're innocent, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I have to tell you, I feel so fortunate because these are, by and large, patients that I've resuscitated myself, and I've heard their experiences for the first time. And they lose the flavor after they've been told again and again. And I just, I've got to, you know, this is actually more touching to me than scientific evidence. When this one little girl, she nearly died of mononucleosis, and we had to put a needle into her heart to restart it.
Oh, God.
So that's near death by, you know, anybody's standards. And so she says afterwards, you know, I interviewed her, and she says that her grandmother was present at a resuscitation. I said, oh, and she says, yes, I was just so shocked to see her, because, of course, she had died, you know, 3 or 4 years before. And I said, that's very interesting, you know, tell me more about it. And she goes, well, there really wasn't much to say. She was just sitting there next to me, smiling, and there were sort of these clouds around her, and then I was back. And I said, what do you mean you were back? And she clenches her fist and looks at me, and she goes, that's what I've been trying to figure out. You know, so these experiences, they don't have the quality of invented experiences. They don't have the quality, like you were saying earlier, how do we know this isn't some defense mechanism, you know, against the, you know, end of life? Well, that story I just told you, I don't think is proof of anything, but you would expect a defense mechanism to be a little bit more seamless, a little bit more, you know, fleshed out. You wouldn't expect all these weird little quirks, like one child, his family plunged off a river, you know, off in a highway embankment into the river, and his dad was drowned, and his mother barely survived. The people that rescued him got the Washington State Heroism Award of the Year for, you know, these passerbys fished him out of this, you know, this submerged car. And he says to me, I was in a huge noodle. And, you know, I've never heard of a near-death experience, you know, like that. And I said, so tell me a little bit more about this huge noodle. And then he goes, you know something? It couldn't have been a noodle because it had a rainbow in it. And I don't think that noodles have rainbows, so it must have been a tunnel. And you see what I'm saying? I mean, that doesn't sound like a defense mechanism to me.
Yeah.
That sounds like a child who's had a vividly real, powerful emotional experience that they're trying to make sense of, just like we are.